Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. I'm excited about this morning, but I'd like to just open up in prayer and ask the Lord just to bless us as we come to his word. Father, we realize that you are speaking to your church, and we are your church here gathered in Waterfontein to hear what you are saying to us in this season. And Lord, I pray that you would make our hearts receptive to what you are saying, Holy Spirit, this morning. I ask that you would use me, that you put the words in my mouth to enable to communicate what's on your heart. But I do pray, Father, that there would not just be a hearing, but there'd be a responding to what you are saying. That we would go away from this time, whether we're online or whether we're here today, that something of what's in heaven will be on earth will become a reality to us today. So go before us now, Father, in a wonderful way, in Jesus' name. Amen. We had a wonderful privilege this week to be praying with fasting from Wednesday to Friday, and I'm trust that you were doing part of that. But I want to just give, in a sense, a summary of what God is actually saying to us, because so often we can run ahead and, yes, God has given us his word and we can go and expound the word of God and we can grow in the knowledge and understanding of the Lord and we can get really encouraged through that, and that's the majority of what we actually do. But when we give God an opportunity to actually speak to us, we need to be hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to us. In the book of Revelation, we see that Jesus spoke to the first churches, and he spoke very clearly in the different seasons that they found themselves in. But there was a condemnation of saying what they are doing wrong, but then he revealed to the aspects of their lives that wasn't working out. And I believe God is not only going to encourage us today, but he's going to challenge us, because there's things that he's wanting to do with us. So I'm going to do that initially, then we're going to take a time to pray. I think it's such an important thing. Part of what God's called us to do is to devote ourselves to prayer. And as a body, it's such a key. It's our communication to God and our response to him. And then after that, I'd like to pray for, as we start the year, for the workers that are doing the work in the life of the church, that God's anointing would be upon them and that the wisdom would be upon us as we go forward in him. So I've titled the message, Family Matters. And I'd like to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 40 verse 30 to 31. And as you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 40, 30, 31, God speaks, and we've got to be hearing what he's saying to us. So I read from verse 30, "Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And the key aspect there, that I really just sense, is waiting for the Lord. That word there in some versions is for, others is on, others is upon. But it's an aspect of being active and looking to God and allowing him to have his will and his way in our lives. And as we waited upon the Lord over these 3 days during the week, and we got gathered together in the evenings, really felt that God was speaking to us individually and was speaking to us as his church. And I just really just sense God was giving us a big picture of what he was saying. And, you know, that's an incredible thing. When God actually speaks and he reveals what he's doing to us, we've got to be attentive to what he's saying. So there's two aspects that I really sense that he was talking to us about. He was preparing us for the rapture of his church. And I don't know if you understand it, that is not the second coming. That is when God is preparing his church to take her away before the tribulation actually comes. Now, we've heard lots about the rapture, and I want to just say I really believe it is a reality. Even in the time when Paul was around 2,000 years ago, they believed that in their heart and it hadn't happened, but it just seems the sign of the times we'll be looking at, we see end time prophecy is that the rapture is imminent. Now, is it next year? I don't know. I don't know the exact time, but in the course of events of time, it is close. And we need to be always prepared for that. And I really, we're going to be talking about that. And I really believe also God is preparing for the greatest outpouring of His Spirit that's ever taken place. God is telling us these things are both going to take place in the near future going forward. So firstly, preparing for the rapture of His church. This is a serious matter. You know, I don't know if you know the Jewish way of life is that when a young maiden prepares herself to get married to a bridegroom, they get engaged. And once they're engaged, the bridegroom goes away and he prepares a place for her. And then he comes back and he fetches her and takes her. And he can arrive back at any time to take her back, but she has to be ready. She has to prepare her heart. She has to be in the right place to be fetched by her bridegroom, and he will take her to be home with her again. And that was the tradition that took place amongst the Jewish folk many thousands of years ago. But it's the tradition that's still for the church. Jesus is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. And Jesus has gone to go and prepare a place for us, and he's coming back to fetch us. This is not the second coming. This is not the judgment day. This is to come and fetch his bride. And we need to realize that you and I are the bride of Christ. And we need to prepare ourselves, and we need to be in a place that we are ready for him to come and fetch us. And we got to do everything in our power to be in that place that we're ready for him. Are you ready for Jesus to come and take you home to be with him as his bride? Are you? You need to ask yourself that question. And there's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27. And I know we reference that to, we talk about Christian marriage, but it also talks about Christ and his church. And I read from Ephesians 5, verse 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And as we waited upon the Lord over these times of prayer with fasting, we really just sensed that God was preparing his church, and he's doing that work of bringing his bride to a place without spot or wrinkle, that she might be holy and without blemish. And that's you and I. God is doing that in our lives. I don't want to go ahead of myself, but God is actually doing that in our lives. And you need to realize that as we surrender to him and allow him to complete his work in our lives. Yes, we are born again once we've believed upon him, but this outworking of preparing us, he's still doing it. The Holy Spirit is preparing us for the bride, and we need to be open for that. And then the parable of the 10 young virgins, I'm not going to the scripture, but you know the parable that says that there were 10 young virgins, and they were waiting for their bridegroom to come. And the bridegroom arrived, and only 5 had oil in their lamps, and 5 didn't have, and they were left behind. And I want to just say there's a seriousness in the hour that we find ourselves. And in the world we live in, we can get so distracted from what we are looking at and what we are doing that we get caught up in the world and the ways of the world. And those the things of busyness seemingly are good, but we've got to ensure that there's oil in our lamps. And that's the preparation of our hearts. It's not so much the preparation of our lifestyles, but the preparation of our hearts that we've got to get into a place. And that leads to the next point, that we've got to get to a place of consecration that leads to repentance. Now, what is consecration? Consecration is setting ourselves apart to be devoted to the Lord. Now, that devotion, no one can force you to do that. No one can force you to do that. That's something that's of your will, of your outworking, that you decide to be devoted to the Lord and set yourself apart. But that process of consecration is wanting to deal with the world and the things of the world. And that's dealing with our hearts. Now, your heart is your spirit and your soul. And in your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect. It's your whole inner being that needs to be set apart for the Lord. And that's where God is looking at. He's not looking at your body. He is looking at your heart. And he wants your heart to be in a place where it's ready for him. And in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 to 9, the Lord was talking to the Pharisees. And he was talking to people that were not cognitive of him. And verse 8 says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And here, men were coming to God with their lips, and they weren't coming together with their hearts. Now, during the week, I had an opportunity. We got a pool at home, and the pool was sparkling. It was clean. It was incredible. It was clean. But when I went to the filter system, and in the basket, it was all clogged up. The creepy wasn't working properly because it was all clogged up, and then the filter system was full of all the sand. So I had to unclog that and actually take it all out and then backwash the pool and then got it, and then the creepy started to work again. And that's very much like our lives, that we might be wearing the masks, we might look so good on the outside, but what is happening on the inside? And God wants to deal with the inside. And I really believe this is an opportunity. God is never, ever finished with you. You are never actually a finished product. We are always work in progress before our God. We've got to be in a place of contentment, but we've got to be in a place that allow God to actually work with us. So I really believe is that one of the greatest dangers that we have in our lives is not COVID. It's called sin. And sin creeps into our lives so easily. The devil leads us into temptation, but the temptation leads us into sin. And sin destroys our relationship with God and our fellowship with God, and destroys all that he has for us. And I want to encourage us is that part of the process of growing deeper in Christ and getting closer to him is dealing with sin. Yes, when you are born again, God cancels the power of that sin over your life. It's called the remission of sins. But we have to come, as we live in God, we need to ask God for forgiveness of sins. Now, you don't always know what your sins are. Quentin just shared with us, David got to a place in his life where Nathan the prophet had to come and tell him that what he was doing with Bathsheba when he fell into adultery with and killing her husband was sin. David got to such a place in his life where he thought, well, I'm okay. And we often so much in our lives, we don't examine our lives, allow the Holy Spirit to put his spotlight on our lives to bring us to a place to reveal the outworking of sin. Now, we can all be saying here today, we love the Lord, we've been doing our things, but allow the Spirit of God, because you know there's a depth, there's a deeper walk that God has for us. And this thing has to be eradicated. And only it's not the weed killer that's going to eradicate it. It's only Christ that's going to take it away. And 1 John 1, 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's an incredible cleanser. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from unrighteousness. And if you have an unrighteous heart, it's only Jesus and his blood that can cleanse you. I cannot do that for you. I can't even get the dispenser to actually go and cleanse you, give you the sanitizer to make you clean. It's only Jesus. And you've got to confess your sin before him and allow him. And that's part of our consecration. God wants us to go deeper. He wants a church that's without spot, without wrinkle, that is holy and without blemish. And how does that take place? We come before him, we ask him, we confess it, and he cleanses us. And I don't know if you've really experienced that. I've been walking with the Lord for many years, but there are times that I fall into sin. And there are times when I realize that I've become far away from God. Even though I'm even in the ministry and doing the things that God has called me to do, sometimes my heart is far away from him. But when I turn back to him and I come and I realize my state of my heart and I confess before him, the power of God that comes through the blood of Jesus that cleanses from unrighteousness, I am not different to you. I'm a human being like you. We all need to do this. And we need the power of God to cleanse us from that. And I'm trusting that as we take a time of prayer, allow the Spirit of God to reveal to you where there might be sin in your life. In Matthew 5, verse 8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." This is the outworking what God actually does. And then there's this word repentance, which I really believe is a misunderstanding that so often people say, now go and repent. But repentance is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is confessing to God and God forgives. And forgiveness, we forgive one another. Repentance is changing our minds and seeing the error of our ways and changing our minds and asking God to give us the mind of Christ that we can think and we can act according to what God has for us. And that's the challenge you and I have, is that when you were born again, God made you a new person. He gave you a new spirit, but he's given us the responsibility with the Holy Spirit by the word of God is actually to renew our minds. And that's a continual process that we've got to work with. Repentance is actually a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that God wants. When the Spirit of God reveals things to us and we change us, we come to understand his ways and his thoughts, he brings us to a place to change. And that's where we've got to be open to that. We've got to get to a place to say, Lord, yeah, help me to change my thinking. And you know what our problem is? A lot of the times we've walked with the Lord many years and we've got into a rut. And we haven't got to a place, okay, God, show me what you're wanting to do. And let me tell you, when you see a ship's captain and he gets on a course, but if he is half a degree off course over a few hundred kilometers, how far is he off his destination? And it's the same with us. We have a destination, we have a destiny in Christ, and we can need to do a course direction in all our lives. And that comes through the changing, the repenting and changing our minds. And I'm trusting that the Spirit of God is actually, this is a process that God is doing in your life. And then the Lord said to us, fruitfulness. It's not only the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but it's advancing his kingdom. And God wants to see that fruitfulness. In John chapter 15, the Lord said to his disciples after he gave them all who they are, that he's the vine and they are the branches, that he has chosen them, that he's their friends, like to us. But he demanded fruitfulness. You know, the world demands prosperity and success and influence. Jesus demands fruitfulness. The vine produces fruit, and you've got to work together with him. And that's why that scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking to Jesus, another version says, fixing to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, looking to Jesus. I want to just say this fruitfulness is only come when we fix our eyes upon Jesus. It's not just fixing and then doing our own thing. It's all about him. That's such a key thing. You know, our spirit man, our hearts are created to be focused. And the focal point, you were created to fix your eyes upon Jesus. And if you don't fix your eyes upon Jesus, you'll focus upon the world and the distractions of the world, and it'll lead you astray eventually. But as you fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, you will find your way in God. And then as his church in Revelation 2 verse 4, the Lord spoke to the church in Ephesus, and I believe he's speaking to us today. But I have this against you, that you've abandoned the love that you had. You've lost your first love. And I want to encourage us, every one of us, I ask you first question, are you in love with Jesus? Not do you know him only as your Lord and Savior, are you in love with Jesus? And if your relationship is not intimate with him and personal, I want to encourage you, because God wants that. He wants an intimate personal relationship with you. If you love your husband or your spouse more than Jesus, I want to say to you today, with kindness and gentleness in my heart, you're in the wrong place. Jesus must be first. I love my wife. I love my children. But I love God more. And that's the way that God wants it, because there's a first. He wants that because he realizes that's the evidence he wants in our lives, because everything is about him. And it must be about him. And I'm encouraging you today, don't forsake your first love. Don't forsake your first love. Don't let the things of the world get in the way. Get back to your first love and put Jesus first in your life. So that was firstly the preparation of us, and are we ready for the church to be raptured? And then secondly, this greatest move of the Spirit of God, the outpouring of the Spirit. I really believe God has placed us on earth. He hasn't taken us home. He's brought us to a place that he wants to use us. Every one of you have influence. You are touching many lives that you find in your life, whether in your work environment, through your family, you are touching lives, and God wants to work in and through you to touch the lives. Now, Jesus came to save. And he saw the lost and had compassion on the lost. Every one of you, and including myself, were lost at one time. If you know Jesus today, you were lost once and there. And he came and found you through people, through whatever, and he brought you to a place that you can recognize him as a Lord and Savior. Isn't that incredible? And we need to rejoice in that. But there are many out there in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities, in the nations of the world that are lost. And the scripture talks clearly about the lost sheep. They don't know they're lost. It talks about the lost coin. It doesn't realize they are lost. And then it talks about the prodigal son who chose to be lost. But when he came to his senses, he came to know the Father. But God wants to use us because he realizes that they need a Savior. And the provision has been made. And we got to be preaching. Jesus is not only Lord, but he's also Savior. And he wants to save people. And you know, I think we need to get to a place where we recognize and remember that day we got saved. You never got saved by yourself. God the Holy Spirit worked and brought you to a place, whether it was in a meeting that you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, whether it was in your bedroom like I did, recognizing a Savior. May we come and may God continue to use you. So we have a responsibility as church on the way. God has called us to be church on the go, to go with this good news that there's a Savior and God wants to save men and women and children and bring them to a knowledge of him. It's not about filling buildings and having bigger churches, but it is about bringing people to a place of knowing Jesus as Lord and as Savior. And it's an incredible thing when people are saved and you see that the light and the transformation that actually comes to their lives, where they surrender to him and they are saved from their sins and then given eternal life. It's an incredible joy. And I believe God has still given us that responsibility to go and be part of his hands and his feet and his mouth and his ears to bring salvation. And I challenge you, are you going with the gospel? When last did you share the love of Jesus? I remember I was at university and I was a very young Christian and I didn't know much about the ways of the Lord and understanding scripture, but I was hungry. I wanted to know more about the Lord. And we had a group called Vis Christian Fellowship, and I was gathered, and the prophecy started to come. And through this one girl, the Lord brought a prophecy. He's telling us to go and tell people of his love. And the Lord said to us, just tell them that I love them. And I got hold of that. And I'm telling you, to start this thing, your legs are shaking and you bung. You know, what are you saying things? And I remember I was walking back down from campus down Jorison Street, and there was an elderly man walking there with his hat, and I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, Jesus loves you, and I ran. But I realized the Lord said, that's not good enough. You need to talk, you know. And I got the confidence. And the beauty of that, there is no conflict in that. There's no antagonism in that. It's telling people because people desire to be loved. And when you tell you, do you want to know more about that, then you can share this wonder of your personal relationship that you have with God and know his love and how you love him. And I'm telling you, when you start to share that with people, because if you don't share that, you'll give them a religion. You'll give them a church structure, a pattern of structure. But when you bring them to Christ and about his love, you bring them to relationship. And out of that, because we're in a relationship with him. And I encourage you, folk, please, the work of the ministry does not belong to the pastors or the elders or the deacons. It belongs to the church. The populating of heaven belongs not to the evangelist, the great Reinhard Bonnke. It's to us. And I want to encourage you where you find yourself, that when you wake up in the morning, say, Lord, use me today to share your truth and to share your love. And I'm telling you, God will put people across your path. And it's not just your petrol attendant. It might even be your managing director at work. It might be the human resources. It might be the tea person. I don't know who it is, but God will put people across your path. And don't see anyone as insignificant. Whether they are of different faiths, share the love of God with them, because they need to know the truth. So I'm encouraging you. God's going to pour out his spirit upon us, but it's going to take you and I to go. And I can't rah-rah you to do that. You need to have a conviction in yourself that you want to go and share this good news of the love of Christ with this world. So how are we going to do this, the process? I think it's so important. Again, I get to that scripture that we read in the beginning, Isaiah 40, verse 30 to 31, but I want to focus on, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So yes, you've got a job to do. You've got work to do. But as you take time to wait upon the Lord, and you know, this is something that's got to be learnt. It's a secret. You know, we all go for training because in the world expects that you train. We're all qualified in something that we do. We all have proficiency in something. But are you proficient in waiting upon the Lord, waiting for the Lord, waiting on the Lord? It's such a key skill that we all need to nurture. You know, as we wait upon Him and allow Him to speak into our hearts, something of the strength and this outworking of His life would be a reality. You know, God never created us to be theologians. Do you know that? Yes, we need to understand theology and have a knowledge of Him, but He created us to know Him. And one of the ways that He does, and one of the key ways, is to wait upon the Lord. And that's going to take discipline. It's going to take discipline to be with Him. It's going to take discipline to be in His Word, to meditate on His Word. And out of that, this fruitfulness will come. So I'm preaching to the converted, but I'm reminding you of God's ways, of what He wants to do in your life. Psalm 37, verse 3 to 7, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him and He will act. You'll bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, or rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil desires. Trust in the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord, be still before the Lord. Get before Jesus and allow that to be a reality in your life. And then Matthew chapter 6:33, which needs to reside in our hearts, and we need to know this. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It doesn't say all these things shall be added to you as you seek. It says first put the kingdom of God, put Jesus first, and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. You know, put God first, and He will look after your inheritance. You know, I'm learning as I've been walking with the Lord for many years, as you allow Him to work His life in you, there's no one greater who has a love for you than Him. And I'm just going ahead of myself because I believe it's Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13. This is your God who loves you. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Sally brought up in the prophecy, and it came up in the prayer meeting, the ancient ways. God's ways do not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. You know, if you read the scriptures, I've been noticing there's some, God hides Himself. You know, when you were children, you played hide and go seek, and I remember playing that with my father and my mom, playing hide and go seek in the help, and I remember we had the big wash basket, and I was small enough in those times, and I climbed into the wash basket, and I hid myself in the wash basket. And my dad opened up and giggle, 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 he found me. God does a very similar thing, that He plays hide and seek with us. In a sense, the kingdom of God is veiled. It's hidden. But you've got to seek for it. And you know those Easter egg hunts that we used to have and the chocolate hunts that we used to have? You've got to seek God with all your heart. And then you will find Him. And it's not just a quick little thing. It can take time because you know what? Our Father loves us, but He tests us. And He will test your heart. He will test you. How serious are you? Is the phone more important? Is the TV more important? Who's important? And I'm telling you now that that is a very challenging thing. You can have all the degrees in the world and you will not find Him. But when you come with your heart before Him and you surrender to Him and you humble yourself before Him and say, Father, I want to know You. And you come with that desire and you get serious about that. And it's not instantaneous. It's not instant coffee. It's not the cappuccino that you mix and it's done and it foams. It's the process. You've got to grind the beans. You've got to put it in the pot, and it's got to brew, and then it comes out, and then the aroma comes, and there's the wonder of those things. This is a process. And you've got to say, Father, I'm here. I want to find you. And don't wait for heaven to find him. Find him now, because he loves you and wants the best for you. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, trust in the Lord again with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your straight your paths. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who wants to ask you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. And Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. God has got so much more for us. We'll call upon him and he will answer us. So in conclusion, I want to say, out of this, God is producing true disciples. Are we committed to being disciples of the Lord? You see, can I just say to you is that Jesus did say to us, take up your cross, deny self, and follow me. But he said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. And disciple is a student of God. And are you a disciple? You can follow Jesus, but you need to be a disciple. And God wants us to be true disciples. And therefore, I encourage you is that in Hebrews 12, 1 to 2, I'm going to read that to you again. Therefore, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Fixing our eyes upon Jesus. We have no other way. I can teach you no other way, but fix your eyes upon Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And I just know that as we do that and become true disciples of him and get to know him. So we also, just in a sense, is that we put a lot of emphasis in the life of the church to become disciples of God within the life groups and within the teaching. The teachings that we started through the disciples, through leadership, and we're going to be doing that and you're going to hear about that. But what I'm wanting to do, because I realize that a lot of this becoming a disciple of God is a lot of self-study. So with your permission, what I'm wanting to do is that I want to take a few of the series that has been prepared by Derek Prince. And I'd like to, drip feed into your lives through the WhatsApp group, if you don't mind. I'm going to give you every week maybe four little things to listen for 10 minutes a day and to hear the Word of God. Derek Prince is a profound teacher, and God raised him up for a season, and the Word of God comes through him. And I'm going to do that apart from the foundational stuff, disciple, apart from the leadership stuff that we're going to do, but on a daily basis or for 4 days a week, that if you can take time to grow in the Lord. Because the Lord gave us a prophecy at the end of last year. God showed this church was a gun with a magazine in it, and it had one round in it. And that was the Word of God, he said to us. We're not deep enough in the Word of God, and we need to get you deeper. But I can't force feed you. COVID hasn't allowed us to get you together to have training sessions like we used to do on the Wednesday night. You have commitments in your work life. People find it difficult to get to a place. And I'm not pointing finger in any way. But if I give you the tools, will you do something about it and grow deeper in the Lord? So with your permission, can I do that with you? Would you like to grow deep in the Word of God? Amen. Good. So what we're going to do now, have you heard what the Spirit of God has been saying to us? Have you been encouraged? God loves you and we love you and we want the very best for you. And I honestly want you be prepared for when the time when the Lord comes to take us home, that none of us will be left behind. I know the Bible says five were left behind. But I trust out of this body here that we will be all prepared and we will be ready to go to be with our Lord forever. Isn't that incredible? I'd like to take a time of prayer, and then we're going to ask for some testimonies just about the goodness of God, just as we commit, because I really believe this is not just about hearing, but it's about bringing our hearts before. And I'm asking the elders to come alongside me too as we just take this time of prayer and allow God. Let's just bow our heads. Not that you have to bow and have to close your eyes. It's not in the scripture with that, but it's just a summing of bringing us closer to God as we take this time. Father, you've been speaking so clearly to us. But it's our time to respond to you. Lord, it's been so good that you brought us into the kingdom of God and we've been able to respond to you and you've become our Lord and Savior. But Lord, as you want to take us deeper and you want to prepare us, will you speak to our hearts and will you bring us to a place that will not give you lip service, but that our hearts will be connected to you, that we'll be one with you, that there would be the vitality of this eternal life that you've given us, that we would know in our hearts we are one with you. And out of that, Father, that we'll be pleasing to you and we'll bring in glory to your name and we will be have this intimate, personal, deep relationship with you, that our relationship with you, Father, would be rich. It would not be weak, but it'll be rich and deep, and the evidence of that will be in the outworking of fruitfulness in our lives. So, Lord, as I just commit every individual here today and those online and everyone part of church on the way, Lord, I commit ourselves to you and forgive me if I'm praying on your behalf, but as you commit your heart to the Lord, Father, I bring your people before you. And Father, we want to walk in your ways. We want to please you in every way. We want to fix our eyes upon Jesus. And Lord, yes, we've been weak and we haven't been always in the right place, but we know that you love us. And as you've come and brought a course direction to us, that you're coming to fetch us and you want a bride that is holy and spotless without blemish, we come and we consecrate our lives, Lord. And if there be sin in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, will you please reveal it to us that we may come and ask for forgiveness. But if we don't know about the sins now, but even ask now, Father, that please forgive us for the sins that we don't even know about, like a David. Please forgive us, Lord. And will you bring the power of the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we will stand in a place of purity before you, not because of we've made ourselves pure, but because what you have done in our hearts. And out of that place of purity, Lord, may we grow into a rich love for you. Take us, Father, into a deep, rich love for you. Pray for husbands and wives. Pray for the children. Pray for grandparents. We pray for wherever we find ourselves that, Lord, that our lives will be full of you and full of your grace. So, Lord, take us deeper. Bring us into a place too, Father, that we would truly be a church on the go with the gospel, with the good news of Christ, and bringing people to understanding and a knowing of you. So, Lord, give us opportunity to preach this gospel. Help us to change our families, our workplaces, the community that we find ourselves in the neighborhoods that we find ourselves in, that, Lord, there would be an outpouring of your Spirit in a wonderful way. Help us not to keep quiet. Help us to be bold in what you've called us to do, Father. Thank you for your grace now. In Jesus' name. I don't know, Quentin, you want to pray something? Bradley, Ivan.
Yes, Father, we thank you that we're important to you. You pursue us. You don't leave us. Just like we were talking last week about Jonah, who went to his salt tree, and you didn't just leave him there. So, Father, sometimes when we're in a place that we're not even seeking you, you're seeking us. And Father, I pray that those prodigals this morning that might be even here in this body or watching online, that they would hear your call and the search of your heart to that you want them back. And you're ready to welcome them like that prodigal's father did, where he was way off. He ran out to meet him and threw his arms around him. So, Father, I pray that this year, when we look back years from now, if we're still here, that we would see your incredible hand having come to produce fruitfulness in our lives, not with the material things, but with the people that you've used us to touch and to reach. And Father, I pray that you would give us a hunger to dig our roots deep, as you've told us this morning and this week and last week, how you want us to live in your favor. But there are things that we have to do. Father, give us the courage. Remove the hindrances of the evil one who prevents us from doing these things sometimes. Help us to get over that laziness sometimes, Lord, that we're just slow to act. Give us a kick in the butt where we need it. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I just feel that the Lord is telling us that we need to respond. And how do we respond today? Let's stand. Let's stand. If we want to respond to him, let's stand. At the end of the day, like Quentin has said, we need to get a kick in the butt. We need to stop being lazy. We need to stop procrastinating. We need to stop making excuses. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe the day after. It is now. Each and every one of us might walk out that door and never come back. It is now that we make the decision. It is now that we act. It is now that we fix our eyes on Jesus. Do we want to procrastinate and be left behind? No, we do not. Thank you, Father God, that as we stand here, Lord, we are responding to you, Father. We are responding to your call today, Lord, to lift our hands to you and fix our eyes on you and only you, Lord. Open the eyes to our heart, Father. Our heart is yours, Lord, and it is after you and only you, Father. We give everything of us to you today in Jesus' name. We leave everything behind, Father. Everything, Lord. And we focus on you today in Jesus' name.
I just sense to add, as Bradley was praying, sometimes we don't act because we kind of feel guilty. We kind of look at our lives and we think, well, I'm not deserving. Or I've been too far from God. Or I've been like the prodigal in the pigsty too long. And I can't come back. And we almost have that same attitude of the prodigal. Just make me a servant, Lord. I'm not worthy. God wants you to forgive yourself and accept his forgiveness. Otherwise, the devil keeps pointing his finger at you and keeping you where you are. So today, if you're a prodigal, today, if you're lost and you didn't know you were lost and you've just come to that realization today, if you're a lost sheep that is just cowering, you know that you're not in the right place, but you haven't done anything about it and you're waiting for God to come fetch you. I think for all of those, God is saying, like Bradley said, today is the day of change. Don't let anything hinder you from coming back to God. Don't let the embarrassment or whatever, there's nothing, you're not trying to impress anyone. God is after your heart.
Good morning, blessed of God. I really want to encourage you this morning. I saw a person standing here in front of this table, and there was no face to him, but I saw he was worshiping. And I feel that the Lord is speaking to us as the body of Christ, that we need to come to that place of worship. And Mark spoke about putting God first and about him being your everything. And if Jesus has got your heart, you're going to worship. And I think the problem with many of us, we're looking too much towards going on around us, what could be, what should have happened, and all the bad things that's happening. And Jesus is telling us right now, there are a lot of things that we cannot change. There's stuff you cannot do in your own strength. But God is calling us this morning to come and to worship Him. To come and worship Him. And all those things that we're going through, the things that we're facing, God's going to undertake for that stuff just like this. And I want to say to you, in my own life, there was a lot of stuff that I just couldn't fix. But I got to a place where I had to come and to worship God. God's been speaking to me in a mighty and in an amazing way. And I want to encourage you people, church, the body of Christ, worship Him. Look not to the left nor to the right, but fix your eyes on Jesus and worship Him. I went for a bike ride with Arthur yesterday. And at early morning, it was cold and the wind was blowing like crazy. And I was at the top of a hill. But when I looked over Kempton Park, just in front of me, there were fields of long grass. And the wind was blowing. And I said to Arthur, look at that. The grass is alive. And it was moving as the wind was blowing through it. And I just got the sense for the body of Christ that the Spirit of God is beginning to blow upon His people and upon the body of Christ. As you worship Him, the Spirit of God is beginning to blow and life will come. Father, I thank You that today, Father, where the fire has gone out, that You begin to blow and begin to move upon us, upon the church, upon Your people now, Father, to revive and to restore, Father. And as that wind would blow, Father, Lord, I pray today that the scales would fall from the eyes, Father, and that we'd fix our eyes on You to worship You only, Lord Jesus, to worship You, Father. We love You. And we give You all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I just want to read Psalm 139. Just take this time to just examine yourself. Oh Lord, You have searched me and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it complete, O Lord. You hem me in from behind and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up to the heavens, You are there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle in the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to You. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to You. Then at the end it says, search me, O God, and know my anxious heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And we were just talking this morning about the heart. You know, where is your heart? God knows your inner being. He knows what you're thinking.
Amen. Thank you.
And behold, that very day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about the things that had occurred. And while they were conversing and discussing together, Jesus Himself caught up with them, and He was already accompanying them. But their eyes were were held so that they did not recognize Him. Lord, if we did not recognize what is going on here this morning, I pray that You open our eyes. Speak to our spirit, Lord, and change our ways. Give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom to do what You've called us to do as You prepare every day for us. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Noel.
On Friday, there was a lot about the Bride of Christ and about our beloved. And I just had a sense while standing there The day that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, he bowed his knee before you and asked you, will you marry me? And he put a covenant ring on your finger. We are engaged to be married to our heavenly bridegroom. So take all your idols and all your other lovers away. Forget about them. We need to keep our eyes on our beloved. It's like when you got engaged to your wife or your husband, you're so excited for that marriage. And we need to be excited for the marriage feast of the Lamb. We're going to be married to Jesus.
Amen.
When he comes to fetch us.
Amen. Amen. God is talking. Trust that you're hearing what he's saying to us. So I just, as you take away today and go and pause about this, I'm trusting that you would go and think about it, meditate on it, what God is actually saying to you. Get your journal out, write down the things that God is actually saying to you, because it can go just straight over your head and nothing transpires and you remain the same. But I trust, no, as God speaks to us, that that wouldn't take place. But yeah, if you need prayer, you're more than welcome. And if you want to come now, or we can do it afterwards. Anyone want to come for prayer now? If there's anyone here today that doesn't know the Lord, if that's you here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never come to a knowledge of knowing of him, and you would like to submit yourself to him and to his loving grace, yeah, will you raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you today. Thank you. And those online, maybe you're online then, it's your first time, will you just say this simple but powerful prayer? Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I commit my life to you. And will you forgive me for my sins? Wash me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And help me to follow you and to be your disciple. And help me to be connected into a church and to serve you the rest of my life. And that I might bring glory to your name now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer afterwards, please come and join us. We'd love to pray with you. But I'd like to take a time as we start this season. I'd like to pray for the workers and honor the workers that are doing work in the life of the church. And I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are, and then we're going to make a general prayer for those that I call out by name. For those involved with hosting and hospitality, if you can stand, please. Those on the hosting and hospitality teams, just going to all stand with that. Those involved with youth can stand, please. Those who are involved with the Women of Worth and the Men's Connect, those that are deacons in the life of the church, those that are involved in the children's church, those involved in leading life groups, those involved with Journeying on the Way, those involved in prayer groups and leading other groups, the elders, the worship team, wherever those are involved in ministry, where you put your hand up at this point in time and you're serving, I might have missed your name at this time. I just want to pray for you, just every folk around you. We want everyone to be work. We're all in the work of the ministry together, but we just want to just pray for everyone that God's. So if you just raise your hands to the Lord, just want to pray for God's anointing upon you for the role that he's called you to do. Lord, I just thank you for those that are online and those that are here this morning, that Lord, you've called us and set us aside to outworking of your church. And Lord, as we start the season in you, we realize, Lord, that we cannot do it in our own strength. And I just pray, Father, that you would strengthen these wonderful people that have put their hands up to work out the life of your church here, Church on the Way. I pray, Lord, that you would give them your enabling, your anointing to do the task. I ask that you give them the wisdom. And as they work together as team and as they work, Lord, to bring glory to your name, we pray, Father, that your blessing would rest upon them and use them mightily. Those that couldn't be here that are still in children's church, or those that are out that couldn't be here today, we pray your hand of anointing also upon them. And then, Lord, add to our team as we continue to do this work now. And then we pray for the church too, Lord, for those that might be sitting here too. We pray, Lord, we're all called to the work of the ministry, to be preaching the gospel and to be outworking your grace. So we pray for your anointing upon all of us now in the name of Jesus. Lord, may there be an evidence of that anointing. May there be the evidence of your presence as we fulfill your purposes and your plans now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we finish up today, I want you, as I release you, I want you to turn to your neighbor. Maybe you haven't even said hello to your neighbor today. We haven't had a chance to do that. But turn to those to the left and your right. Say, good morning. I love you. Jesus loves you. And let's go and have some coffee together and enjoy what God has for us. We love you, folk. Thank you for hearing what God is saying to us. God bless you all those in line. Thank you so much.